Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Kelly S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Today is Tuesday, August the 13th, 2024. This is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. So today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in More About Alcoholism. We are there on page 38, third paragraph. It says, some of you are thinking through one paragraph ending, thanks for the information and comments on that one paragraph. So today's readers are the 12 steps will be Mary F. 12 traditions will be Susan G. Pauline M. will be reading our text. Vanita L. will be reading page 164. And Larry K. is our backup reader. So newcomer reader is Chris W. And our second hour host will be Christine G. The reference number for yesterday meetings, if you want to listen to them, Monday, August 12, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time. The number is 21647, 21647. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time is 21648, 21648. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I will now ask Mary the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. This is Mary F., calling from Virginia. I am a compulsive overeater. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity to give service, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Mary F. And Susan G. will now read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hey, good morning, Kelly and everybody. Susan G. in Tennessee. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose: carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much. And I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Susan G. So here is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you'll press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in More About Alcoholism. We're on page 38, third paragraph. Some of you are thinking through one paragraph ending with, thanks for the information. And comments will be on that one paragraph. And Colleen M. is going to get us started. Good morning, Colleen.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you for your service. This is Colleen M., recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Some of you are thinking, yes, what you tell us is true, but it doesn't fully apply. We admit we have some of these symptoms, but we have not gone to the extremes you fellows did, nor are we likely to, for we understand ourselves so well after what you have told us that such things cannot happen again. We have not lost everything in life through drinking, and we certainly do not intend to. Thanks for the information. So this paragraph really, for me, says denial. That was where I lived for so many years, in the denial of this disease. This was me. I did not believe that I would ever get to a point where I needed to do everything that this program recommended. You know, as long as I was getting, and I've been in program for 20 plus years, and I've been abstinent for 7. So that will give you a little bit of an idea how long it's taken me to get this thing. Because I wanted to do it my way. I wanted to get some ease from my discomfort of compulsively overeating and binging, but I certainly didn't want to do the deep dive into the steps and do this house cleaning and make all these amends and live an honest life and submit to my higher power on a daily basis. You know, what I wanted was, you know, just a little relief. And it makes me think of, so what we're trying to do here is, you know, I read lots of self-help books. I had all this knowledge. I always knew there was something wrong with the way I ate. But I had not done a lot of these not yet. And I see this as the progression of the disease, you know, in many of the areas of my life, you know, until I kept lowering the bar and lowering the bar until I had conceded, like it says in the beginning of this chapter, until I concede to my innermost self that I have this problem, that I'm not going to be willing to go to any length. And that took a lot of weight gain and weight losses, a lot of diets that did and didn't work. It took a lot of pain, a lot of destruction of my physical health and, you know, many relationships until I came to the end of myself. And, you know, on page 38, it says, after brief periods of sobriety and self-discipline that, you know, we qualified to drink like other men. And I spent years of that. It also reminds me when I'm working with sponsees that, you know, until we do get to the end of ourselves, until we do concede to ourselves, there's no way I can convince another man that they have. All I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope. What has worked for me, convince you that you have this thing and it's time for you to, you know, to get on board. But what I do know is that I never left the rooms, and so I kept hearing the message, and one relapse after another relapse after another relapse.
That time, Colleen.
Thank you. Helped me to become willing to admit that maybe doing it a different way would help. And so I encourage everyone out there that's not there yet to stick around. And thank you. That's all I've got.
Well, thanks for getting us started, Colleen M. So we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible. I'll remind you when time is up. Please give me your first name, initial of your last name, and where you're calling from so we can find you on the member list.
Troy C.
Christy S.
Melissa C.
Melissa.
Troy C.
I can't understand your first name.
Loretta
Troy
A.
C.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Loretta. Who's the gentleman?
Troy C.
Troy. Sorry, Troy. I couldn't hear you. Gotcha. Troy C.
Thank you.
All right. I have Troy, Christy, Melissa, Loretta. Who else?
Nick.
Nick.
M-S-C-K. Thank you.
Gotcha,
Pete B.
Pete B. Anybody else? All right. Well, that's a good lineup. So,
Toby W.
Who was that?
Toby W. in Boston.
Toby W. Gotcha, Toby. All right. So here's we have for our first lineup: Troy, Christy, Melissa, Loretta, Nick, Pete, and Toby. Make sure everybody presses star one, so we'll have a nice quiet meeting. We'll get started with Troy C. followed by Christy F. Good morning, Troy. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. Troy C., compulsive overeater from Florida, East Coast time. Thank you so much for your service. Yeah, this is a really incredible little paragraph. And almost every paragraph that I've heard so far in Vision, this is my first time through the book with you guys. And every time it's like, man, I've read this paragraph a dozen times before and it's never hit me like it's hitting me now. So I had a really unique experience of reading this book in the beverage program. I got sober in AA many years ago, and right away I could see, I had this hinting suspicion that, oh boy, this definitely applies to my drinking, but I think it might apply to my eating too. But the implication there that I would have to ask God for help with my food, it was just too much. That I would have to go to meetings for food, get a sponsor for food. It was just too much. Surely Nutrisystem would do the trick, keto would do the trick, one meal a day, whatever. And it took me a little over a decade of trying that over and over and over again, of losing weight and gaining weight. I'm going to do couch to 5K, and I'm not going to eat bread or whatever. And it worked kind of well the first bunch of times. You know, self-will and willpower seem to work well anyway. In retrospect, I can see that there were periods of brief sobriety with food, but they were followed always by a still worse relapse. And I had to do this process again and again and again until I was beaten into a state of reasonableness by food. And I remember that, so there, you know, there was initial, I told my counselors in treatment for drug addiction, like, oh, wow, I think my relationship with food is the same as with drugs. And this was in 2012. So why wasn't it until 2022 that I was willing to get sober with food, that I was willing to ask God for help, that I was willing to come here to OA? And how was it that my mind, I was, you know, like, thanks for the knowledge, guys. My credits will transfer. You know, I have this self-knowledge about my, I'm exactly this paragraph. I'm exactly, you know, the characters we've met so far who say, thanks so much, you know, now I know this about myself and I'll be good. And I wasn't like that with my drinking. I was immediately like, oh, wow, thanks so much, everybody. But with food, I'm exactly these guys. And so it's really incredible that this book has me pegged yet again, written, you know, 90 years ago, and they know me inside and out. It's really, really incredible. Thank you so much, moderator, for your service, and I hope everybody has a great day. Pass.
Well, thank you so much, Troy C. from Florida. All right, next up we have Christy F., followed by Melissa C. Good morning, Christy. Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Christy S. in Boston, compulsive overeater. Thank you for moderating, and thank you to the previous speakers. This paragraph for me talks, in addition to the denial, about my lack of understanding of the progression of the disease. And I, too, have been in the rooms for a long time and have had relapse as part of my history. Part of my speaking this morning is the surrender to not do things my way. You know, my sponsor has given me the suggestion that I share once a week, and I'm taking that suggestion despite my brain telling me or screaming that I don't want to for all kinds of reasons. And then, you know, the paragraph also reminds me of the word yet. You know, I too thought that I had not lost everything in life. We hear people talk about high-functioning alcoholics. Well, I'm a high-functioning compulsive overeater, or so I thought. And I haven't lost everything in life. I have a beautiful family, a great job, but I have a medical condition that requires me to follow a food plan. And the disease progressed to the point that I was not following the food plan, despite all of the knowledge that not following the food plan could kill me. So I definitely identify with this paragraph, and I think I'll keep it short and thank you all for being here, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Christy S. from Boston. Next up, Melissa C., followed by Loretta H. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Kelly. It's Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York, and, you know, when I read this, it makes me think that it's pretty important for me that I'm mindful about sharing too much on the consequences of my eating, like how bad it got. I think, you know, sometimes I can find myself spending a lot of time talking about my significant weight gain or, you know, some of the other devastating consequences. And I think, you know, what's the purpose in doing that? Because what it might actually do is not offer hope, but it might actually do the opposite. It might do a little bit of what it did to me way back then, where I would say, yeah, gosh, she really had this disease bad. No wonder why she needs to go to great lengths. I don't have it that bad. I don't need to do as much, you know. And that's why for me, for years, OA Light was so appealing because, you know, I remember my early times in OA. I received really good information and examples from other people but I can't even learn from my own damn examples. I certainly couldn't learn from someone else's examples. And what I saw there was, like, much older people than me. I was young at the time, and some were in sin bodies and some were not. And they, you know, they did their best. They gave me some really good information. And in my arrogance, you know, I took their information, which for me was a food plan. You know, I found out good information about the foods that I needed to steer clear of. And, you know, and it was sort of like, okay, this is traffic. This is what it looks like to be in the middle of the road. Okay, here's where you shouldn't go. And for a time, I could do that. But I thought that I had the power to keep me forever out of the way of those, like, fast-moving cars. I thought I had the power to permanently keep me clear of those foods that I had really good information on that gave me a problem. And I remember thinking, I don't want to be in these rooms once I'm thin. I had no interest in doing anything with Overeaters Anonymous once I lost the weight. And, you know, yeah, that doesn't work. You know, it because information is not transformation. Information was not powerful enough to save me, because the day came where I thought taking that bite, or really for me it was that drink, would be an okay thing to do, you know, and I would have said, I don't have it as bad as you folks, you know, I'm okay. And so I think what's really important, I'm just going to close up here real quick, is that we focus on our thinking, because it's our thinking that seems to be quite the same. When I say to somebody, and I know my time is up, when I say to somebody, yeah, once I eat that, that's the only thing I think about, that seems to elicit a little different response than when I just talk about my weight. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Melissa C. from New York. So next up, we have Loretta H., followed by Nick F. Good morning, Loretta.
Good morning, Kelly, and good morning, all, along with my precious God. You are saving my life, Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina. Okay. So I loved all the shares. I identified with all the shares. I am also duly addicted, and I identify more with my compulsive overeating in the book than I ever did with my other disease. I never could really identify, because none of that happened to me, but in my compulsive overeating, I've been attacked at 3 o'clock in the morning, had car accidents about the food. I took a lot of dangerous moves to get, it wasn't even to get my fix, it was to get rid of the food, because the compulsive bite, and I am a real compulsive overeater, the issue is in my tissues. I will die of this disease. But because my body never allowed me to become totally anorexic, I got so in trouble. And again, this is what I study this and have facilitated this just last month. And we are told to, every time it uses the word drink, to put think and just put thinking, because it is my thinking. That is what gets me in trouble. The propaganda, this time it'll be different, this time it won't hurt me, or no thinking at all. And it's my pride, my self-seeking, my resentment, my selfishness that makes me do this stuff, because I really think that I can get to a point where I can, and like I said, I covet starving. But I know, because I came in at 54 when my dad had died, and I couldn't show up and I couldn't stop eating. So this disease did take a toll on me. Mentally especially, and today, because of the grace of God, you know, many 24 hours, but it's only because of working with steps, doing it over. I do the steps each time my sponsees or protégés do them, because there's always something in my 11th or 10th step that needs work. And with that, I pass. The spiritual fitness is what I need, you know, not the perfection of being thin. It's about connection and not perfection. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Loretta H. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Nick F., followed by Pete B. Good morning, Nick. Where are you calling from? I'm in Tennessee. It's Nick F. in Tennessee. I am a compulsive overeater, recovered alcoholic. You know, this what I'm hearing this morning, it's awesome, and hearing about denial. You know, I really just wish I was a regular compulsive overeater. Like, I've conceded to my innermost self, and yeah, I've given quite a bit away, 200 plus pounds away, and you know, I have these spiritual practices that I do, and you know, when I come to vision, I hear about God. I hear God, 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 and though you don't say my high power's name, Jesus, you know, I'm listening to you, and you say God, and I feel fire, and I feel Jesus in my soul and in my bones, and you know, I just really wanted to be okay with a higher power, this power that had took my weight away and took the cravings away. But before I decided that I needed to enlarge my spiritual life, you know, I was okay just going to regular meetings and just calling my regular friends who, you know, have a slip here and there and there and there. But, you know, I'm the compulsive overeater that I handed my kids off, and I'm the addict that I'll kill myself with addiction, and I have to surrender that I need to be here. Vision bigger than me, you know. I don't need to be the biggest fish in the room with the biggest message in the room. And I come here and I hear you all. You all have this idea that I never dare to apply to my food. I can be recovered. I never want to drink. I'm a recovered alcoholic. I went through the steps, and now I'm giving away my fourth step with my sponsor. I'm going through the big book. I had said I'd never do it this way, and God said, oh, but you will, if you want to be recovered and if you want to be well. And I just have to accept I'm not in charge. I'm not regular. I will die with my own spoon, fork, and knife. And not good silverware, just shitty silverware. I will kill myself if I resist God, the God idea. And so I'm so glad that you all are doing what you're doing and you keep coming back every day, because you're saving not just my life, but my children's lives. And I got a little dog now, and I just want to do what God wants me to do. Forget about what everybody else needs to do. This is about Nick. My girlfriend called me Big Nick. Like, this is my life, and God has saved it. And I need to get about the business of doing and going wherever that power is leading me. And I'm so grateful to hear you guys call your power God, because it gives me courage to do the same. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Nick F. from Tennessee. And before we move on to Pete B., let me tell you guys where we're at, in case you don't know. More about alcoholism, of course, big book of AA. Page 38, third paragraph. Some of you are thinking through that one paragraph ending with, thanks for the information. And Pete B., you are up.
Thanks, Kelly, for taking the meeting. Always great to hear you in service. You're doing a great job. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy, and I'm in Pennsylvania. You know, this is explaining, like, you know, the crux of our condition, right? You know, it's not the morbid obesity and the, you know, the extra 50 pounds that's the crux of the condition. It's what my mind does with this, the condition, right? It's always in the absence of what the steps produce, a spiritual experience. The mind will always tell me these things. The mind will always minimize the significance and severity of the condition of being a compulsive overeater, right? Because it doesn't present itself like alcoholism. It presents itself differently. I mean, the stuff that gives me a problem, they give away at the doctor's office when you're finished with a visit, or they give it to you before you go in a restaurant, right? So my mind, without having a spiritual experience, my mind, my mental defense, the reinforcement I get from the meetings, that'll eventually give way. And I'll have the ridiculous thought, like, maybe this time it'll be different, right? Lack of information was not my dilemma. Lack of fellowship was not my dilemma. Lack of friends and resources was not my dilemma. Lack of power was my dilemma. And this book has enabled me, and this process has enabled me, to tap into a power that has solved my problem. You know, we heard a staggering statistic last week about this condition, that you have a better chance of recovering from cancer than you do from recovering from compulsive overeating. That's when is it that as an organization of Overeaters Anonymous, we take a look at that statistic and ask ourselves, it's what we're sharing about this process and the practices that we are instructing people to adopt, is it really having an impact on the condition if less than 1% of us are getting better? What if maybe the big book is right and it says we were powerless over food? What if it's right? It says we actually do get restored to sanity, that our thinking gets cleared up. What if step three actually is really, really a decision that my life and will gets turned over to the Creator so that I live and learn to adjust to what the Creator puts in it versus what I want in it? What if it really is about making amends and not amend, not making a change, about repairing the past? What if it's not step tens? What if we're actually supposed to be developing a practice of accurate self-assessment and not putting our reliance and dependence on other people? Because our reliance and our dependence needs to be on the one that has all power.
That's time.
What if that's the case? Right? When do we make that assessment of ourselves? Thank you, Kelly. I'll pass.
That was abrupt, but thank you so much, Pete. Okay, so next up is Toby W., and after Toby, we'll take a few more names. Good morning, Toby.
Good morning. This is Toby W. from Boston. That paragraph was me when I first came into program in 1978. I was in my mid-40s. And I read it, and I said, no, that's not me. I'm not as bad as most of you. And I don't need all this information. Thank you very much. So what did it do? It caused me to continue to binge. And the progression of the binging increased. And I would get absent for a few days or a few weeks, sometimes even a few years, but never really truly surrendering. And thank you, God. Today, I am surrendering. I was close to my year, and I took my will back. I have 6 days today, and I am so grateful that I am willing to read the paragraph and say, I need to surrender. And as somebody says on this meeting often, surrender, surrender, surrender. And I surrender to God today and ask for help from God. Because I cannot listen to the voice in my head. And the voice in my head lies to me. And it tells me this time it'll be different. You can do it today or you can't do it today. And today, with the help of God, I will continue to be abstinent. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Toby W. from Boston. Okay, guys, we're going to open up for a few more shares. If you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please let others the opportunity. And who would like to share on today's paragraph?
Shanna C.
Shanna C.
Sandra B.
Laura
B. Laura.
Justin C., North Carolina.
Justin C. Anybody else? Always a good time if you've been too nervous to jump in the crazy. That's always crazy, but. All right, well, let's get those four. I have Shanna, Sandra, Laura, and Justin. Press star one so we can have a quiet meeting. We'll get started with Shanna C, followed by Sandra D. Hey, Shanna. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Shanna C, grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Thanks, Kelly, for leading the meeting, and it's always good to be on the meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. I love this meeting, and I particularly love the chapter more about alcoholism, especially as it relates to how I eat and the food and the physical allergy and how it absolutely affects me the same way. Certain alcoholic ingredients, food, whatever you want to talk about or call it, trigger foods, whatever, it affects me the same way as alcohol does, the alcoholic. And, that part where it talks about here, yes, what you tell us is true, but it doesn't fully apply. And so I can identify with that and the fact that I would compare myself to, people who are extremely overweight or people who had the opposite end of the spectrum where they were extremely underweight and all of the things, because there's something inside of me that blocks me off from being able to connect with another human being and see myself as similar rather than different. So there's that part of it. And then there's that part where it talks about how, we have some of these symptoms, but not gone to the extent that you have, we have not lost everything through eating, nor do we intend to, as though my intentions actually have power. I can intend to do a lot of things. It doesn't mean I'm bad or stupid or whatever. I have good intentions. The problem is my intentions don't equal power. And it's harder to admit powerlessness, because I don't like that vulnerability of, man, I really can't stop, no matter how hard I try, no matter what diet I try, no matter how hard I pray, no matter what church I go to, no matter how many outreach calls I make, that mind of mine, left to its own devices without tapping into a power greater than me to direct it, will always come up with the idea that because I feel better, I am better, and I have power now because of how I feel and because of my intentions, when it's not about that. Compulsive overeating beat me into a state of reasonableness that I cannot explain. It was only then that I was able to admit complete defeat, and it was then, upon a complete defeat, that the God of my understanding that I cried out to gave me mastery. Not that I've mastered it. I'm still just as allergic to those alcoholic foods as I ever have been. But now there's a power that's able to direct my thinking. And it's not a white knuckling kind of thing anymore. It's not willy-nilly. There is stuff I absolutely have to do on a daily basis to do my part. But I ask the God of my understanding every day to give me the willingness and the ability to carry that out, to stay abstinent.
That's fine, Shanna.
And so grateful for this, being grateful for this way of living that really works now. That's all I have.
Well, thank you so much, Shanna C. from Tennessee. Next up, I think it's Sandra D. Is that it, Sandra?
Yes, Sandra B. I'm Sandra B. from Sweden. I'm a compulsive, thank you, overeater and undereater, and thank you so much for all the shares and the strong lines from the big book. I can relate to very much. I was actually thinking on that earlier this morning, how I so easily stay outside of things and not participate. I might be there physically, but mentally, it's so easy in my thinking to put myself outside of the room. And that makes me think that I don't need to take as much, I don't need to do the same work as somebody mentioned. I don't need to get myself too into it because nobody will like me anyway, or whatever other lie there might be there. I'm so different, so extremely different, even in these rooms. And that's very sad, because it it leaves me out of a really beautiful fellowship. And yes, it's different online and all these stuff, but just because of that, I need to do even more into it, digging, so to speak, to come into the flock and the fellowship. And I'm so much longing to do service. I've been in a period of many ups and downs lately, had long-term recovery but left it, and has been struggling on and off for a few years now to come back to a like long-term permanent recovery. And at this phase where I'm at right now, I have just let go of one part that I don't want to share about it, but that's why I'm going to share about it. Like speaking about different methods that we tried. Fasting, water fasting has been a method that I've used. As a believer, as a Christian, it's a part of my faith, and I've kind of, excused it by it's a part of my faith, and because it's a part of my faith, nobody needs to know that I'm doing it. It's between me and God. You're not supposed to tell it to someone. We're supposed to be honest, so first of all, that's not going through the it's not following the script, so to speak. And even if I've shared it with some people, especially those who have the same faith, in order to understand how they think about it, and long story short, but anyway, I let it go like a few years ago, and I was able to keep it off, eating and following my food plan and doing the work. But I took it back because of pain, and then it's been hard to let go. And now it feels like I've really, really surrendered and was really open and honest with my sponsor. And by God's grace, she stayed with me because she honored my openness. And that's why I want to share it with you. So it feels like I'm coming out of the closet. Because in one
that's
way,
kind, Sandra.
Okay, thank you. I will just conclude. I just wanted to, with concluding and saying, like, there was a lie that said that if you speak up about this, it's like you are doing something wrong. Because it's like you put fasting in a bad shape. But I will just say that fasting is perfect if you don't have any problem with it. But if you have problem, it's not another thing. Thank you for being here. I'm also a compulsive overeater. Bless you all. Bye.
Thank you, Sandra B. from Sweden. Next up, we have Laura F., followed by Justin C. Laura, where are you calling from?
Hi, everyone. My name is Laura F., and I'm from Connecticut, and I am a compulsive overeater. Thank you for this meeting and all the shares. Really awesome. Wow. By reading this, what really stuck out to me was my arrogance. You know, I am a member of another 12-step program, and I have gone to extremes, especially in my eating history. Eating out of garbage you name it, you know what I mean? The things that I have tried, and then coming in and out of this program for 30 years, in and out, because I've always made it about that magical number. Once I got to that number, thank you very much, I will be on my way. And so arrogant and prideful, no humility whatsoever. And, you know, I thought the more I stick around, it's like, wow, your thought life is completely unmanageable, Laura. And all those things where I want to focus, I want to focus on the weight loss, focus on the food, the right food plan. The more I mess with it, the more unmanageable my thoughts get. And the more I want to get back into the food. And it's so much, for me, it's so much, yes, abstinence. I have to be abstinent. But it's goes way beyond that. It's my thinking, that mental twist in my brain that keeps wanting me to go back, the lack of humility, the arrogance that I can do this on my own, you know, not fully surrendering. And it's almost like that onion peel, like I surrender, yes, but there's more to surrender and more and more. And the more I keep coming around, the more I discover that I need to surrender. And when I do that, you know, it's so painful, but yet the relief that I feel and being okay in the body that I have now, today, I have joy and peace in the day. If I let go of those old ideas of the way I think Laura needs to look, you know, there's such freedom in that. And I loved it how someone had shared about there may not be a meeting, there may not be your sponsor, the fellowship, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's that continual connection with my higher power. That's where I get the power from. That's where I'm going to get the power.
That's time, Laura.
I just really thank you so, so much. What a wonderful meeting. God bless you all and have a wonderful day.
Thanks so much, Laura F. from Connecticut. Next up, we have Justin C. from North Carolina. We'll have time for a couple more shares. Hey, Justin.
Hey, everybody. Justin C., compulsive over Charlotte, North Carolina. So grateful to be here, and thank you all for being here this morning for your service. And I can relate to so much of, you know, what has been shared, and what really jumped out to me from this paragraph this morning is that this line, you know, we have not lost everything in life. And I found myself asking, you know, what does that mean? You know, what has that meant to me? Because I've said that. I've said that many times. I've compared myself many, many times, the experience that's already been shared of coming into these rooms and immediately disqualifying myself by looking at others and what their bottom was or what they were sharing they had done. And I hadn't done that, all of that. But, you know, what is everything in life? You know, being present in any given moment, having true joy, feeling connected to true hope, having faith. You know, these are all things now that have become a part of my life, right? But the, you know, those have all come to through God, and through this practice, you know, but before, what I assumed that was is, well, I haven't had diabetes. I haven't been diagnosed with that. I haven't lost a limb. I'm not in a wheelchair. I'm still able-bodied. I'm not so fat that people make fun of me on the streets. So I haven't lost everything in life, you know. But I was, you know, I could not differentiate the true from the false, you know. I could not see that every day I was hiding in the shadows of my life. I was not living. You know, I had lost everything. You know, I had to have a complete new way of living and what life was. And I didn't know that, you know, and so, and it has been shared, but, you know, last year, this same time I went, there's an annual beach trip that, my girlfriend's family go on, and I was working this program, and I was going to be abstinent. You know, everybody goes on this vacation and they eat all sorts of goodies and everything else. And I was there last year and I loved the way I looked and I obsessed over food. I didn't eat anything. I was abstinent, but that was my focus. And this year, I wanted to be useful and of service. I wanted God to direct my life. That was at the forefront. And this trip was different because of that, you know. And that's what I want to do on a daily basis. I want to live in the sunlight of the Spirit. And I need God to direct my thinking, to enter my thoughts, my spirit, you know, my life. So that's all I've got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Justin C. from North Carolina. We have time for a couple more shares. If you haven't shared in the last couple of days, we'd love to hear you.
Melinda.
Melinda. Anybody else?
Well, Melinda, what's the initial of your last name and where are you calling from?
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Melinda H., as in Horst in Virginia. And
right.
I don't want to share this, but I must. My son has gone into the psychiatric hospital, as I have been 3 or 4 times in my life, and I cannot, will not let go of the fear of losing him physically on this earth, and I just keep eating, and I know I'm myself. I know that I am of no, I can be of no real help to him, if he even wants my help, if I'm in the food. And yet I can't stop. I can't let go of that somehow by eating. Well, I'm numbing myself. I'm anesthetizing myself so that I don't have to feel that fear. And I don't make those calls to, you know, do the 10 steps to get through the fear, to pray, to actually completely surrender. And I just had to say that. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Melinda, and keep coming back. You're in the right place. Well, guys, we have time for another share. Who would like to share?
I'll share. This is Pamela B., if that's okay.
All right, Pamela. Yeah, perfect. Where are you calling from?
West Virginia.
All right, Pamela, you're up.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for your service today and for all the shares. I have literally no idea what I'm going to say. I just know that I found this meeting probably in May. A friend of mine in program highly recommended it. I've only shared once. And from the very beginning when I came into program, that was in 2000, I had an affinity for the Big Book. So much so that I started a Big Book meeting. I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and that didn't keep me abstinent. Sponsoring several women did not keep me abstinent. And when I left last year and then came back last year in October, and I could not, and it's not up to me to figure anything out. My sponsor once said to me, the worst words that a sponsor can hear are from a sponsee is, I can't figure it out. Just like, there's nothing to figure out. You have to unlearn. There's really nothing to learn. And something was missing. And then someone told me about this. It started with a Sunday special edition. And then I started calling into the 7 o'clock meeting. And this has completely revolutionized, as dramatic as that may sound, going paragraph by paragraph by paragraph. And I heard a really strong message today in one of the shares, and I'm not going to crosstalk, but it's exactly what I needed to hear about the obsession and turning everything over to God and letting God direct the show and that I'm not in charge. And there's just something so precious that comes through. It's like, if you're listening to a radio in your car and it's super clear versus all the static was coming back until I found vision. And then everything started clearing up. And I have been taking actions that have needed to be taken for years over the last few months. I mean, literally for years. And it is not a coincidence, as they say, God's way of staying anonymous is, you know, through coincidence. But it's not that when I started attending these meetings, something shifted, and that a sentence, let alone a paragraph, can just knock me between my brows and help me be closer to my higher power. So again, thank you, moderator, for your incredible service. Thank you all for your beautiful shares. I'm quiet, but I'm listening. And as I heard a dear friend in program once say, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. There's one thing we need to be doing more than the other. So with that, I will pass, and thanks again.
Well, thank you so much, Pamela B. from West Virginia, for taking us out and for stepping up there. All right, guys, so that's the end of our meeting. Thank you to everyone who shared. What a wonderful meeting. I love this meeting. Just got to say that. So please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, August 13th, 2024, is 21650. 21650. All right, so we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Benita L., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, Benita L., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation that what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the refuge of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.